This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And we don't just mean the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go papertarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out, the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
Welcome to Good Calls with Dean Blandino, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to another episode of Good Calls. I'm Dean Blandino. Let's get right into it today. As always, Travis Hanson, Joe Madrid, and our friend of the show, Scott Tamil, joining us. Scott's got a lot of opinions. He's on a word count, so we just got to keep track. Travis, you're in charge of keeping Scott in check, okay?
It's just nothing different than being in studio then.
It is, but I like that Scott's very opinionated and he's knowledgeable on actually a lot more topics than you and Joe are. So
absolutely.
Like Joe has a certain wheelhouse. Travis, you have a certain wheelhouse. Joe knows, you know, the sports gaming world. He knows MMA, maybe a little bit about sports. Travis, you're kind of horse riding and all of that outdoor stuff from Wyoming, and Scott can cover everything else.
The history of the world is what I cover.
Let me tell you what I just heard.
It's more about Wyoming. We'll talk about later.
I just heard Joe's knows all the badass stuff, and those guys know all the goofy shit. So
Joe knows about electric cars as well.
This is true.
Meanwhile, Joe, I don't know. I saw the electric car. Porsche has an electric car now. The Taycan or something.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
The Model X blows it out of the water for half the price. Don't even get me started on that. Don't even get me started. The Model X blows it out of the water for half the price.
I don't know. I saw one and I was like, ooh, that looks nice. I think that might be nicer than the Tesla.
It's nice looking, but it's performance-wise, not even close.
Yeah, who wants a car that looks nice now?
I'm very superficial.
When you can get a Tesla.
For me, it's not what's under the hood.
Give it 5 years and they might maybe be able to sniff us. Maybe.
All right. Fair enough. All right, let's get into, obviously, a lot going on right now in the sports world, and a lot of it doesn't involve the actual playing of games or getting back to playing games with obviously with COVID-19. But the kind of thing that jumped out was what feels like a real sea change and a real reversal in terms of the NFL's approach as it pertains to the national anthem, Colin Kaepernick, things like that. And this, let's start with Drew Brees. You know, Drew Brees, I think anyone that has been, and I've been lucky enough to spend time with him. I actually got to talk to him before the Super Bowl on the field. And, you know, an unbelievable guy, super nice guy. You can't find someone that's more respected in the National Football League. And he made some comments that I think a lot of people felt missed the mark, you know, regarding his thoughts on the flag and how he wouldn't agree with people taking a knee because of his background and his grandfather's that fought for this country. And there was a lot of backlash for Drew speaking his opinion. This led to him apologizing. Teammates were upset. Players were kind of up in arms. Felt like the comments missed the mark. It's tough. I think for me, yes, considering everything that is happening, for Drew to come on and talk about the flag, it was almost dismissive of the issues that not are just taking place now, that have been taking place and seem to have been brought to light even further because of the George Floyd situation and obviously that you know what happened there. And it just kind of it kind of missed the point. For me, it missed the point about what, you know, it's not about the flag. It's not about, I think that's been the missing deal in all of this, is that what Colin Kaepernick did, at least for me, he wasn't trying to disrespect the flag. He was trying to bring attention to something that's happening in this country, that's been happening in this country. And that was, you know, his approach to it. And he felt, after talking to Nate Boyer, who is a former Army Green Beret, rather than sit, Nate recommended that he kneel, and that would be seen as less disrespectful to, you know, armed forces, veterans and people that are currently serving and people that have family members. So it's just it's a really interesting time right now. And at least the silver lining in all this is that we're having these conversations and we're having uncomfortable conversations. And I'm sure it was uncomfortable for Drew Brees, but you know, I don't know. I don't know what you guys think in terms of how that was the fallout warranted. And kind of where do we go from here?
I'll go first, and I think it definitely was warranted. 4 years ago, he made these similar kind of comments, Drew Brees did, and then it was, you know, for whatever reason, it was okay. But now it's too many people have gotten on board, and too much momentum has finally, you know, come up with his comments again this time. You know, the first time it was ignorant, and the second time it just seems like it was blatant, and he's smarter than that. I think he just needs to stay away from that. But the apologies are great, and it seems like now we've got the conversation rolling in the right direction to see change, and I'm happy about that.
That's the most conviction I've ever heard from Travis, I think, since I've known him. Like, what did you have a thing with Drew Brees? Did Drew Brees do something to you?
No, I've worked his charity events before. I have friends.
And was he like a dick to you? Because that's what it sounds like.
No, he wasn't. But it's just, to me, the timing was so bad. He just needed to think about what he was going to say, and he didn't, and it was just disappointing to me because he's done so much good for the league and for himself and for charitable donations and things that he's done. So it's like, you know, his character is just, he didn't think about it, and it was just poorly timed.
And I think that's the thing. It's like, but that gets me to a bigger question too. Is someone like that that probably does more in his community or does more for charity than all of us combined, right. And that more than most people who walk around in America ever think about doing in their lifetimes, he probably does more in a year. And are we in this environment where one misstep, whether it's social media or something that we say, does that tear down all the good that person has done? Can we be judged on our best and worst moment? You know. Like, does that tear down everything and now people are going to see Drew Brees in a certain light? Is that fair?
I don't think it's fair. He'll recover. I mean, people will forget about it. I think Travis is dead on, though. Like, the timing is just really bad. And as being a friend of a C-level celebrity, my friend Shane Fazin, I always make sure that, you know, I always...
I'm B-minus, so
B.
You know, I always...
Yeah, B-minus, B-list.
I think it was a bad move for his friends, his agent, his manager to even let that come out. It was, how do you not give him the talk before that and say, hey, dude, stay away from this as far as you want to get away.
I don't think it was an intentional, like in terms of coming from a bad place, but sometimes you just have to understand right now, especially for white people, you know, we have to listen and we have to educate ourselves, continue to educate ourselves, you know, before we start throwing opinions around and just really start to listen and start to, you know, we can affect change in a lot of different ways. And making those types of comments, I think sometimes sets the whole movement back a little bit. And I think that's one of the issues.
I think you brought up a good point, but it goes as far as like what is cancel culture and things like that. But what is important to remember is that he's such a pillar of the community, which is why it's almost worse than if it was just, you know, a different person, because I'm going to refer to a friend of mine. He is a African-American guy. He's from Mississippi. His name's Carl Tart. He's a very funny actor, comedian, writer. He is from that area, and he tweeted this out, which I think is absolutely true, which is, you know, New Orleans is 60% Black African-American. You know, that's one of the blackest cities in America. People worship Drew Brees there. The team is a huge source of pride. Obviously, they've brought hope to the city in the past as well.
Sure.
So when you want to talk about reading the room, you know, at this, call it whatever you want, these heightened emotions or just like a focal point on race in America, to make that statement when he did, and as Travis said, he's repeating something he said in the past, it's like, whatever you think he truly believes, it is one of those, like, yeah, publicist things where it's like, read the room, my friend. Yeah. Like, what are you doing right now? And that's also why, yeah, it is a Black city. So you need to remember that even though you're a pillar of the community, you also reflect it. You know, so...
His words carry more weight. I mean, there's no question. And I think that's a good point. Because this is a guy, like you said, repeating something, firmly believes that, and hopefully in all of this, and that's the thing about cancel culture, and that's the thing, we can't continue the dialogue and we can't affect change if we're just, once somebody does something, takes a misstep, we're just forgetting about it, because we all have different opinions, we all have to exchange those opinions, and then he came out and he apologized, and if it sounds like obviously he's sincere, and if that's somebody's mind who has been, I won't say changed necessarily because you don't know what, but at least he sees the issue with making that statement, and he's going to change the way he approaches things. That's one more person, right? And then we just continue down that path. But we have to have the freedom and at least the ability to exchange those ideas and have that uncomfortable conversation in order to make, you know, make the changes that are necessary.
Well, and his teammates responded, you know, both negatively, but then when afterwards he made his multiple apologies, and his teammates are like, hey, he's listening. So yeah, it's just now it's working together and moving forward. It's not like his teammates they seem to have acknowledged, you know, his sincerity. So,
yeah,
you know, we just got to wait and see.
And you see in these locker rooms, there's so many uncomfortable conversations that these guys have that we never get to see as outsiders working in the media or in different jobs, you know, our fans listening to the show. Like, I've been in the locker rooms as a PR intern, you know, way back in the day with the Vikings, and you hear conversations with things that are thrown out there. This is years and years ago that you would be very uncomfortable if you heard them. And there's their private conversations, which is great because then they're talking about it. So I'm really curious and anxious to see and hopefully hear about some of the things that go on in the locker room, you know, going forward when the teams do get back to those.
But how many times, and I agree, how many times we have that environment. Like, there are times when we're in the studio and the group of us, and think about over the last couple of years, the groups that we've had, especially if it's, you know, maybe it's Friday night and it's one college game and we have more of an opportunity to talk. Think about the people we've had in the room, you know, whether it's myself, Joe, you, Travis, Scott, Asian, Mike Davis, African-American, Janita, African-American, the conversations that we've had about race and different things. I mean, some of those conversations have been uncomfortable, but they're necessary, right? They're necessary because this is what's happening, you know, whether it's a locker room, whether it's somebody's job, whether it's interacting with people on a daily basis. Those are the conversations we have to have. We need, me as a white man, I need to see other people's perspective. I can't have another person's experience. I can only have my own, but I have to be able to open my eyes and see what other people go through and try to find some common ground and say, okay, I didn't recognize that because I didn't experience that. That doesn't mean it doesn't happen. I can't dismiss it.
Right.
And I can't just, and it's no longer good enough to just say, well, you know, I'm not racist and I treat people based on their character. So I'm good. Now what really has to happen is we have to take the next step and say, okay, that's good, but we have to now have conversations. We have to, you know, if we have children, raise our children the right way, have conversations with our people who are close to us, talk to people from different backgrounds and different, you know, races, and kind of figure it out because this has been happening for a long time. And we still haven't seen the changes that are necessary. And maybe this is the key moment in time. It feels like 2020 is a year that people are going to remember for a long, long time. And hopefully it's a positive, not a negative.
I think it comes down to
COVID being locked up and all of it just finally coming out and everyone, I think.
I think it comes down to us lacking empathy as a society. That's really what it is, to be quite honest. We're just
empathy, compassion, all those things.
And I think what it really boils down to, Dean, is there are good calls and there are bad calls. And Drew happened to make a bad call. And this is all about good calls.
And a couple of bad calls ruin the bunch, right? They spoil the bunch. Is that how it goes? That's
pretty much how it goes, man.
Nice segue, Joe. Let's talk about the NFL kind of did it about faith. And it came from, and this is such an interesting story. NFL employees kind of reached out. Brendan Minter, I don't know Brendan. I worked at the NFL, but I don't know if he started after I left, so I don't know him. Kind of reached out to, started with Michael Thomas, I believe, from the Saints.
Yep.
And reached out about doing a video. You know, this was not sanctioned by the league. This was something that he and I think another employee came up with, and I think we've all seen this video where it's guys like Saquon Barkley and Jarvis Landry and Michael Thomas and talking about, you know, bringing attention and speaking, you know, that they are George Floyd as well. And this was not something went kind of behind the, you know, it's tough to say behind the league back, but obviously an important issue. Then they presented it to the higher ups at the NFL, had a Zoom call, and it led to Roger Goodell coming out and saying that the league got it wrong in 2016. That's a big, big deal. And that is, you know, I've been in that office. I know how it works. And so when you speak out, a lot of times, there are repercussions, and this was really a courageous deal. And it seems to have shifted some thoughts up in that league office, which is a positive. So, you know, I think it's, again, courageous, and hopefully this is the start of the league really working with the players and letting the players, you know, voice their opinions, and hopefully some serious change can happen.
Yeah, I think we all saw that Goodell video around the same time and just started texting it to different people, and to him, for him to say that they were wrong is just huge. And it's great. We're seeing change now, I think.
But the bottom line is, I mean, ultimately, do we think Colin Kaepernick's going to get signed by a team?
No. I don't think so, but I don't know if that's even really the issue. I think what his purpose was to get this message out. And unfortunately, it took too long for this message to come out. It had to come out in 2016 or 17. Maybe his skills wouldn't have diminished, but now he's 32 and he hasn't played in 4 years. When there's a guy like Cam Newton out there, who's probably better, younger.
Go down to 2 and 3, you know, even,
sure.
even just to be in training camp, Colin, I don't care if he's been out of the league 3 or 4 years, Colin Kaepernick should be on a roster. I mean, you can't argue that the argument that he doesn't look at the players that are on NFL rosters right now. And that there are some people that are going to say, I don't care what Roger Goodell says until Colin Kaepernick gets signed by a team.
Malcolm Jenkins did that on CBS This Morning, said that. He's like, he wants to see Kaepernick signed and wants to see change there.
Go ahead, Scott.
I was going to say, I think, you know, I still think a lot of teams are afraid of stepping in there and signing him. And, you know, there's just, I don't think he's going to end up on a team. And if I might dissent a little, I thought the Goodell statement, well, good, is just kind of like, you know, it's important symbolically for the league to kind of come forward, but it's like too little too late. You know, like the player testimonial was powerful. But for me, I'm a cynic. I was just like, well, this
it's react.
Like, yeah, it's just kind of like, all right, well, wow, very cool. If you don't, but like, you know, like you're saying also, we got to see action on this because otherwise it's just empty words. It's the equivalent of when Jerry Jones took a knee with the team and it's like, wow, okay, so he did that once. Well, things are good now. They're not. So we need
that's more. And that's exactly it. And now it's time for to transition to actions. Like, I get it, and all of the, you know, the social media stuff and everything else, and I think that's raising awareness and solidarity and everything else. But at some point, like, I can't just post, right, a black rectangle on my Instagram page and feel like I've done something. It has to go beyond that, right? And you know, we have to continue to have these conversations and affect change.
I can tell you right now, in regards to Kaepernick, he's a 9-1 dog to get signed this year.
That's pretty good, actually. I don't know.
Think about a team. Okay, this is the conversation that's happening. Okay, if we sign him, there are going to be some people that say we only signed him. We bowed to external pressure, and we put him on a roster. Now let's say he's not cutting it and he's not panning out and we're going to cut him. There's going to be backlash there. There's going to be backlash. Look, the reality is I see this stuff around the country and I'm amazed because I don't feel that way, but I can't stick my head in the sand and think that there aren't racist people out there and there aren't people that aren't going to watch the NFL because someone's signed Colin Kaepernick. There will be.
I think the smartest thing a team could do would be to sign him, especially I'd sign him right this second. I think it'd be a really intelligent move.
Well, I think those teams have to, like, there's no question he belongs in the NFL. He belonged in the NFL in 2016. But again, there's for lack of a better term, baggage that comes with it. And that's what, but the thing is, like Malcolm Jenkins said and others, Roger Goodell can say everything he wants. They can release all the statements they want, but until their actions are what's going to prove that they're serious about this, and that's ultimately what it's going to come down to.
Yeah, right now would be a good time for someone to sign him so they could, you know, there's going to be a media circus around it, no matter what happens, when it happens, if it happens. But right now, with the, you know, the ability to do Zoom calls and not have to be in front of media. But you have to think it, even at training camp, there's going to be a huge, huge gathering to talk to him. And,
I think it would be smart.
I think it'd be smart to sign him now too.
I think it'd be smart from a PR perspective, but I think he's just a good enough player to play in the NFL. And especially when you look at what the quarterbacks who are succeeding now.
Yeah. Matt Schaub
is still in the league as a back.
That's the thing. The talent, you can't argue.
No offense to Matt Schaub, if you're a listener.
Yeah, exactly. And so that he couldn't provide value to a team as a backup quarterback, you can't argue that he wouldn't. And that's what I think ultimately it's going to come down to.
And also, real quick, the people who say they're going to stop watching the NFL, they said that a few years ago. 99.9% of people will still watch. It's football.
I don't disagree with that necessarily, but remember, the ratings did drop. There was, you know, and I know it was, you know, the election was part of it and all of that. You know, we've got an election year coming up. You know, I don't disagree that people are going to watch, but don't be like naive to the ignorance that takes place in this country and some of the people and the way they perceive some of this stuff that's happening around the country. It's scary sometimes. Mm-hmm.
All right. So then just shifting gears before we take a break. So the league office did send out a memo, protocols for player return to club facilities. Some teams are returning. Coaches, I talked to some coaches and some people on coaching staffs around the league. So they are back in the building. It does feel like, though, the more people I talk to, this kind of feels like more of a PR thing. That, hey, look, you know, our coaches are back in the building. Things are returning to normal. Whereas the coaches and the people that I talked to said they were getting more done from home because they were having Zoom meetings. They can't have the players and be on the practice field right now. So the Zoom meetings have been productive. Everybody's been able to communicate. And the only thing that's changed is now they're in their office at the facility, still having Zoom meetings. Like, they're not together in a linebacker room or in a defensive back room having meetings. They're doing it through Zoom, and they're doing it based on the protocols and guys, you know, you come into the facility, you have to fill out a questionnaire when you get up in the morning in terms of things like I went to my dentist appointment last week. I had to fill out a questionnaire. Have I had any symptoms? Have I had a cough? Have I had a fever in the last 14 days? All of those things. Then they get their temperature taken. I got my temperature taken at the dentist. I was 97.8. They let me stay. I was wearing a face mask. They're going to have to wear a face mask, and they're going to have to wear a face mask, face covering throughout their day in the facility, and they're in their office doing Zoom calls. So it's interesting to see how this plays out, because a lot of people I talked to said they were being just as productive at home because everything's virtual right now anyway.
Right. Yeah, I agree. But it seems like it's just like a symbolic, like, we're getting back to work, sort of thing.
And I think look, I'm not arguing with that. I like the positivity. I like the optimism. I think we need, you know, we need positive right now. And so, you know,
I don't think it's bad. I don't think it's bad either.
I just think, call it what it is, you know. And the thing is, like, I still don't know. I don't know what to believe. I don't know what with COVID, the World Health Organization, they make a statement that if you're asymptomatic, that it's very rare that you would transmit the disease. And then, so that headline goes out and everybody now, oh, it was a sham. It was a farce. We shut down the economy. We shut down businesses, and it was all a lie. And then they kind of walk back and the doctor that made the comment says, well, I was just answering a question. And now I've read that it's 16% of asymptomatic people can transmit. What? Somebody please help me, because I don't know what is going on right now with COVID.
No comment.
I have no idea what's going on with it either. I've settled into working from home. So out of this, it's like I've enjoyed it because I get to spend more time with my family. That's it, you know? So thankfully, no one I know has it or has gotten it, but.
I know two people.
I don't know what to think of it either.
You have eight kids, so you got to spend your time with them. They're in an impressionable age. I don't know how you divide
eight
your
kids,
time.
Three wives. I don't know how you do it.
I know. It's amazing.
I have two children, one wife, guys.
But I don't know, Scott, can you help me? You know a lot about this. What should we be doing right now? Should we still
play the
doctor
on TV?
No.
Joe doesn't want a social distance. Should we still be social distancing? With all the, I get it. With all the protests, I think the peaceful protests and everything else, but we're in the middle of a pandemic. This has to have some impact.
I think it will have some impact, but I think also we're seeing cases rise in states that reopened a few weeks ago. I think we just, you know, you just have to play it by ear as far as, like, you know, no one is 100% an expert on this. This is a new thing we're dealing with. So yeah. I'm all for, you know, we're trying to reopen. So tying it back into, like, you know, NFL, NBA, like, training facilities are reopening, but you just got to be careful. I mean, that's all you can say. And, you know, I know you guys have said this in previous episodes too, but it's hard to foresee. Like, the NFL season may start on time, but it's hard to imagine even a half-filled stadium at
sure,
this point
sure.
until we know more. And sure. We're learning new stuff every day, so hopefully we get it figured out here.
All right.
It's like that seems like a good time to take a break.
Let's
get to the returning stuff later.
Thanks for that. That's what I was going to do. All right, let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk. We're going to give updates on all of our professional sports. When will we see professional sports back in America? Next on Good Call.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
All right, we're back on Good Calls, and I just want to mention the dedication that Joe Madrid has to this show. He is. We're recording the show, and he has other things going on. He's about to put his boat in the water. He's down. I don't know where you are, Joe. Somewhere in Arizona, and he took your time out of your day of boating and water sports to join us. For Good Calls, we appreciate that.
Of course. You know, I appreciate you guys. Appreciate you guys moving the time up a little bit so I could catch sunset. Thank you.
Of course, beautiful sunset. So let's kind of run through. We talked NFL, NBA. So we got a firm return date of July 31st right now. So teams will start their respective training camps on the 30th. Then they're going to report to the ESPN Wide World of Sports Complex in Orlando. And then season start July 31st. Tentative NBA finals date has them starting September 30th. So some clarity now on the NBA season starting to crystallize. I think one of the only questions for me is, you know, I kind of feel for teams with the better records that earned what would normally be home court advantage, because now forget it, home court advantage is out the window at this point. And so I understand that's the reality of it, but you just kind of, I don't know, is there an asterisk, you know, with this season? I think all of this season is going to have an asterisk, but at least I'm really happy that we've got a date, we've got a location, and like we talked about last week, right, 22 teams, and we'll go from there. So,
bro, this whole year has an asterisk. It's going to be like, 2020, and people are going to be like, oh, 2020, yeah, it's kind of, all right. So yeah, asterisk on everything.
2020 has got a lot going on. NHL
depends on who wins. Depends on right? who wins if there's an asterisk, I think.
NHL teams, you know, starting to reopen their rinks, their facilities as part of phase two. They can start their voluntary workouts. Several teams opened up this week. Small workouts and training camps are not going to start before July 10th. We talked about the 2014 playoff format, which I think is going to be super cool. I'm excited about that. My Rangers are in it, so we haven't had playoffs for my Rangers in a while, so I'm happy. And so, you know, I think NBA, NHL, NFL, I'm comfortable. College football, you know, I think has a bigger hurdle, but like I said, you know, the feedback that I'm getting, and I think even the NCAA has alluded to this, is that we may end up with a shortened season. We may end up with a delayed season. But I think we're going to have a season. It's going to look different, depending on where you are around the country. And then certainly the CFP, they're planning on playing on schedule. The championship game is January 11th, 2021 in Miami. If anybody's interested in joining me in Miami, I will, I'm taking requests for the trip. So, you know, I think
I think NBA, NHL, college football, NFL, I'm feeling like at least better than not that we're going to play, right? Baseball, I don't feel that way. And baseball, what's scaring me about baseball is that the owners and the players can't agree. And you know, this last proposal where the owners proposed a 76-game season with prorated salary, they're still considering that a pay cut, a second pay cut that the players have already agreed to one. And the union is saying that's a step backward. I don't know if we're going to play baseball this year.
That is disappointing. Like, they missed their window of opportunity to play games. You have Korean baseball going on. You have the CPBL going on, and they just missed a time where they could be the only game on. And
it's mainly an outdoor sport for the most part. You know, yeah, you do have indoor stadiums, but it's not of hockey, basketball, and football and baseball. Baseball is the least contact.
Right.
You're not. It's to me, it's the easiest sport to you know, mandate and work through social distancing guidelines. I don't know. It's disappointing. I kind of get where the players are coming from. I can see what the owners are talking about, but figure it out. You know, because this to me feels like we're going to lose a season here, and this is going to be the second time, in addition to 1994, where we don't have a World Series. You know, we just don't finish a baseball season. This one never even got started, and it would be a real shame, because you know, this is baseball. Obviously, I think football has certainly passed it in terms of popularity, but baseball is really, when you think of the history of this country and the fabric, it's intertwined, and it would be sad to not have a baseball season, but it is what it is.
Yeah. I heard the Houston Astros are pulling for a no season.
Oh, the Astros, you know, they win big. You know, the Astros were going to be, and people have long memories, you know, so when baseball does come back, the Astros will get there. I just don't think it's going to be as intense because of everything that's happened. But
yeah, I definitely want baseball to come back. A shortened season would be so awesome. All the games would mean so much. And think about like a September, like, you know, a week of September when we have NBA finals going on, potentially NHL final going on. You have baseball going to the end, like into the pennant race in college football and NFL. Like, it just, it sounds so, so amazing.
It would be pretty cool.
It doesn't, there's no good news from the baseball thing right now. It does feel like, if they can't figure this out by like the end of the month, that it's just off. They're just going to cancel the season.
Yeah. And that would be, and obviously that has ramifications, and people, you know, there are people that work in these stadiums. There are people that rely on this outside of the players. You know, most players, hopefully, you know, they're at a point where they could sustain a lost season, but there's other people that really can't. And it would just be unfortunate. What would be the long-term effects? It's not the first time that it's happened, but, you know, it just feels like they gotta find some common ground and make this happen. Because to me, like you said, they're playing baseball around the world, and, you know, Korean Baseball League, like you said. And the interesting thing about the Korean Baseball League, the fun thing that I saw a picture online where they put stuffed animals in the crowd, and I think that would be hilarious. Like, I think we should be, why aren't we doing that, you know, for NASCAR and golf events and everything else? We should be putting stuffed animals. I know they got in trouble a couple of weeks ago for putting other kind of dolls in the stands, but if we could avoid that and just put, you know, some teddy bears and some rabbits and things like that, I think that's hilarious. But yeah, that's the update. Some positive news in terms of NBA, NHL, college football. We still have some runway, so we'll see how that plays out. But baseball, it's kind of teetering on the brink right now. And it's like you said, Travis, if we don't get something done, you know, at least some headway, you know, by the end of the month, it's going to be hard for them to get it going and finish any kind of a season, which would suck.
Yeah, we don't want that.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, are we going to have, speaking of stuffed animals in the crowd, are we going to have fake Krabnik on the NFL broadcast? That and some other items when we come back on Good Call.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
All right, we're back on Good Call. And this seems to be something that broadcasters and obviously, you know, we work for Fox Sports, that they're talking about doing and actually implementing in different areas, fake crowd noise. So NFL broadcast partners considering using fake crowd noise. FS1 is using fake crowd noise in Bundesliga, which is the German soccer league. NBA considering NBA 2K sound for crowd noise. Sky Sports is working with EA Sports, FIFA division to create specific crowd chants and noises. Would you want to hear crowd noise, or would you want to, if possible, just have silence and catch more of what the players are saying? Or both is possible. What do you guys think?
I want to see no audio. I want to see no fake crowd noise. I want to see what it sounds like being there as close to the action as possible. I just feel like there's obviously smarter people than me out there making the decision to put this stuff in. But I think it's just kind of a journalistic integrity type thing. Like, we don't want to put, you know, fake stuff out there. We hear about fake news. Why fake crowd noise? Like I say, let's just have the natural sound of the game. And maybe you'll have to turn down the mics every so often, probably more often than you do now. You get the old standards and practices people involved. They'll have to have their mute button ready.
I think it's cool. Like with the UFC, I think it kind of changes it. And it's interesting to hear more of what's actually happening in the event. So I don't like the crowd noise being pumped in. And like, what are you going to do when you're a home team? You get to control how loud it goes when you want. Like, I think it creates a false advantage.
Yeah. One thing I'm unclear on, are they going to pump it into the stadium also? Because I believe the Bundesliga broadcast, it's just for the people watching. Like, they're not playing crowd noise and chant in the stadium.
Oh, so it's just for the fan experience?
I think it's just for the broadcast, right?
Yes. Yes.
That's my understanding, too.
Because, yeah, like, I've watched Bundesliga highlights. They're putting in, like, you know, when a goal is scored, people go crazy. But the people, like, the players in the stadium, it's not being broadcast into the stadium.
Oh, I see. See, I'm thinking it's going through the speakers and stuff. I don't know.
I'm a little split, you know, because it's like, I remember a few years ago when I worked in the highlights department at Fox Sports, I had to cover a really long rain delay baseball game. So at the end of the game, there was maybe 40 people at Yankee Stadium still. It was like 1 a.m. So hearing the crack of the bat, like echo, and hearing like yelling from the dugouts is cool. But I think I couldn't tell if I thought it was cool because it was a novelty. I don't know. Would I want to watch, you know, all NFL season with just, you know, hearing just kind of yelling and stuff? I don't know, because I'm so trained to have crowd noise. It is a little weird when it's not there.
Yeah, I think it would be weird. I think it would be weird without crowd noise. I think
I think there's probably ways to do it where it can feel natural. And, but I guess I'd have to experience it. I know, right? Didn't the NBA did an experiment. I know it wasn't without crowd noise, but they didn't play any like artificial noise. No. You watch an NBA game, right? There's music during the game. There's, you know, all of these things, a lot of electronic enhancement, and they didn't play anything because they wanted to give the fans just the pure experience of just watching the game without all the extra bells and whistles. And everyone hated it. Like, right. The players hated it. The fans hated it. They did it at Madison Square Garden. They did. And they were just like, people went crazy. And that's why I think, like, you know, watching that, yeah, UFC is interesting. I think it, you know, you do have, if you've watched The Ultimate Fighter, you kind of have been exposed to a little bit, but I don't know, like those big sports, I haven't watched any of the Bundesliga games, so I'm not sure. I just want to watch for myself and figure it out, see how they're using this crowd noise.
Definitely, yeah.
Speaking of UFC, big card, UFC 250, I believe. Is that crazy or what? I mean, I remember UFC 1. And with Royce Gracie, and but 250, Amanda Nunes. If did you guys see the fight, Joe? I know you watched.
Yeah, I saw.
I have to ask a question, Joe, and be honest. You versus Amanda Nunes in a fight, MMA rules, UFC rules, 5 rounds, 5-minute rounds. Who wins?
How old am I? How long do I have to train for this fight?
Right now. I'm giving you 6 weeks. I'm giving you 6 weeks to train to fight Amanda Nunes.
I'd say I'm an underdog. She's bad. Amanda
Nunes.
You're
an underdog?
I'm a pretty big underdog. She's no joke. But
she would kick all of our asses.
I'm 75 pounds heavier than her. That's a huge deal.
I don't care. All right,
an advantage though?
Is that an advantage? Yes, of course it's an advantage. When try to get a dude off you that's double your size.
I think she's the greatest female combat sports, you know, fighter of all time.
I mean, she's nasty, man. That girl, I think, and, she, yeah, she's good, man. She's real good.
All right. What would you be the underdog? What would be?
I'd probably be like, you know, given my weight.
Are we talking Buster Douglas?
No, not that big. I'm thinking like you'd probably get like +500 on me. And I'd say bet me, dude. I've got a warrior spirit. I'd say put your money on me.
Your warrior spirit up off the ground.
That's fine. You know what?
Maybe we can see it on Fight Island.
We'll talk about Fight Island. I want more information about Fight Island.
That picture they sent out was amazing.
I'm intrigued.
How tall is Amanda?
I've never been to Dubai. I'm intrigued.
How tall is he, Dean?
Dana White, you wily bastard. You got me hooked, man. I am in. And then the other UFC news is, how many times did Conor McGregor retire again? Is that what happened over the weekend?
I think this is number 3.
He did.
What's next for Conor if this is real retirement? Does he fight Floyd again? Make another $80 million? Does he, you know, I know he's been very successful. Look, his Proper 12
whiskey
brand.
Yeah.
Has done unbelievably well. The guy never has to work again. I get it. It's a combat sport. The stuff you put your body through, the mental aspect of it, training, weight cutting, all of it. That is not an easy way to make a living. So if he wants to retire, that's great. Oh, more power to him. He's made his life and future generations of his family's life that much easier with how well he's done. But then stick to it, man, because I can't, like, this is like Brett Favre. How many times did Brett Favre retire and then come back and this and that, and he's saying he's going? Stick to it. And also, but don't say there's no big fights out there.
right? There's big fights for him. Don't
win the last and you block.
Exactly. Well, he won his
Cowboy, last fight, Travis. Remember, you stick to horse riding. We'll handle the MMA stuff.
But the thing is, you can't. And look, this, the UFC is better with Conor McGregor. I would say they need him, but he is by far their biggest draw. It's a different environment when he's fighting. The sport is bigger when Conor McGregor's involved, and he brings more attention to it. That trickles down to all the fighters on the roster. But it's just, it feels like an interesting time with the UFC right now because he's John Jones. A lot of these others, Nate Diaz,
Cejudo's retiring, right? He's gone.
Cejudo's retiring because they're not making the money. Yeah. Other than McGregor and some of these top guys, they feel like they're not getting the cut of the pie that they deserve, you know, and they can't make these fights. They wanted to make the fight with Masvidal and
Masvidal's retired. He quit too. He asked for them Masvidal, to release him. Give me a
they
break.
They can't make a deal for him to fight Usman. So it's going to be Gilbert Burns. This feels like if McGregor does retire, the UFC will survive. But you start losing these guys, you know, a John Jones, a Masvidal, Nate Diaz. You've got Nick Diaz out there that hasn't fought. You know, these guys jump to a competing organization like Bellator. That could be a big deal.
And I'll tell you what, Gilbert Burns, you heard it here first. Gilbert Burns will win that fight. He is nasty.
It'll be, you know, I like both of those guys. I think it's going to be a good fight. I certainly could see Gilbert Burns winning that fight. Usman's a beast, though.
I don't know what the line is, but I would take Burns all day because he's such a no name. So the line will be affected. I'd jump all over that. He's nasty.
All right. Well, there you go. I did say at the start of the show that Joe has a couple of things that he knows about MMA would be one. Travis, you sent me this. I think this is fascinating. I had no idea that this was taking place. And if I did, I would have been out there. You, me, the rest of us would have been a modern-day team of Goonies. Forrest Glenn had buried a treasure in the Rockies, $1 million in worth of, like, what, gold and jewelry. And it apparently was found over the weekend. You sent me the story. What's the deal?
I heard it was $2
million. So in 2010, what did you say, Joe?
I heard it was $2 million worth of gold and jewelry.
It could have a value of $2 million now, because it was buried in 2010. So Forrest Fenn was an art collector in New Mexico, and he found out he had kidney cancer and he thought he was going to die. So he put together this bronze chest full of collectibles and gold and all kinds of different things worth like $1 million or $2 million, somewhere in there. And he, in his memoirs, he wrote a poem where he hid this in the Rocky Mountains somewhere, and people have been searching for it for the last 10 years. And someone supposedly found it on Sunday. Which is amazing, because this thing has been, you know, people have quit their jobs. People have died looking for this. Like, he's been sued by multiple people because they put their lives in jeopardy because of it.
And, oh, come on. And you knew the risk.
I know you knew the risk, but he's an 89-year-old man. And he said even he could go get it. So it wasn't something that you needed
how
to put
did
your
we
life
not,
in jeopardy.
How did I not know about this? You, how
I followed this story for about 5 or 6 years. I probably knew about it for 5 or 6 years. But
we could have been searching for this. We could have been, and I think we've got, if you think about the Goonies, we've got a team here. We could have been out there. We could have been finding this. But yeah, I think that's so cool. I'm interested to see what, you know, how they found it. Were there booby traps? Like when
he doesn't want, the guy that found it doesn't want to be named.
Okay.
Well, that makes sense.
You know why. You know, IRS is going to be calling. Where's our taxes, bro? I'd be like, I ain't telling nobody either.
I would FedEx like a gold chalice to the IRS. You know, just here's your 30% or whatever the heck it is. But I think that's hilarious. I think that's so cool. And I wish like I could get to the point where I could have a treasure. And on my deathbed, I kind of hide it somewhere and have people look for it as my legacy.
I thought it was a great marketing scheme to sell more of his books. I mean, that's genius to me. It would have been more genius if there was no treasure. He was just like, got your ass. God, yeah. Buy my books. Got you.
Oh, man. Either way, Forrest came out after on Sunday and said he's like kind of glad it's over, but, you know, sad that the search is over as well.
So he's still alive.
He's still alive. He's 89. Yeah. He beat the kidney cancer, and now he's still alive.
Yeah, so the story went, he buried it when he had cancer. You thought he was going to pass, and then he beat it. So it became this big.
Yeah. And so it took 10 years. And, of course, like you would have think 2020 would not be the year anything like that good would happen. But, obviously,
I think the dude doesn't want his name disclosed because there was, like, multiple, like, helicopter rescues and, you know, a few people died. But he's probably like, hey, all the helicopter bills probably going to go to him, the guy that found it. All right, great.
Well, we got cynical thoughts on this.
That guy's just a treasure hunter. He found it.
Well, I think it's a cool story. I have nothing wrong with it.
The cops actually called him and said, can you take it, like, stop doing
this?
No,
Scott's like, I just got back from the Rockies. They're searching for it.
Where have you been, Scott?
Past 5 years, I've been going every May.
I mean, you figure if you spend 5 years looking and you find it, you're still making a couple hundred grand a year.
All right. Speaking of treasure and people searching for treasure, what's the deal with Vegas, Joe? Can we go? Is it open?
Man. Speaking of treasure. Nice segue.
What a professional. That is a professional segue.
What's the deal with Vegas? I want to go, but what is my trip going to look like? Can I go to restaurants? Can I go to shows? Can I go gamble? What does it look like?
Yeah, you could definitely gamble. You could definitely go to restaurants. I don't know about the shows yet. I'm assuming they're open. I'm going on Friday, so I'll be there later this week, and I'll be able to report back next week. I'm doing it for work.
Yeah, report back because we definitely, Luca, who's my oldest, for the listeners, 9 years old, we've been planning, wanting to go to Vegas, try some different restaurants. He wants to, you know, hit the craps table but, you know, maybe hit the Rhino. But I just need to know. I just need to know what's happening before we book the trip.
You know what, Dean? Since you're such a good friend, and I love Luca like he's my own, I'm going to do all that for you guys and let you know how it goes.
Oh, wow.
I'll give a full report. I do know that the crap tables, I believe they're minimum or maximum 6 people now. There's plexiglass all over, like, the blackjack tables. And I just can't wait. Like, how long is it going to take for somebody to just put a fist through one of those things? Cause the dealer hit a 16 and got a 5 or whatever. Like, it's just, I got to go just to see this, the madness that is Vegas, even more madness.
Please take
than
a lot
normal.
Of pictures too. I would love to see it.
You got it. Anything for you, Scott.
All right. I came across a ridiculous sports trivia stat. Like a stat that would be a great sports trivia question. And so I didn't believe it, and it's true. And so I'm going to give you guys three. I'm going to give you guys which one is true. Okay. I'm going to give you three different scenarios, stats related. You'll understand what I'm talking about. One of them is true. The other two are false. You have to guess which one's true. Okay.
Okay.
So here's the three things. Madison Baumgartner has more multi-home run games than Babe Ruth. Okay, that's the first stat. Okay? Second stat. Manute Bol hit more three-pointers in one game in his career than Steve Kerr did. And then the last stat, Peyton Hillis, if you remember Peyton Hillis, he had a couple good years with the Broncos. Peyton Hillis has more three-touchdown games in his career than Eric Dickerson.
I'm going.
One
Peyton.
Of those is true.
Peyton Hillis is true. Peyton Hillis is true. He was my guy, dude. He led me to a fantasy title. Fantasy title, Peyton Hillis, dude. I'm a champ because of him.
Peyton Hillis. So Joe says Peyton Hillis is true. Travis,
what? I'm going to go with Madison Bumgarner and the multi home run.
There is no way. I guarantee you that one's not right. There's no way that one's right. Guaranteed.
But then. The Scott? Steve Kerr one was Manute Bol had what was it?
More Manute Bol is hit more threes in a game in a single game than Steve Kerr has. in their career,
his single game record,
his single game number was higher than Steve Kerr.
Well, all I'll say is I know there is that one game where he hit like 5 threes, I believe, in a row. Or
what's your answer?
Maybe it was five. You know what? I'll just
go with that, and then all of us have a different one. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that one is plausible.
Yeah, no, I'll go with the maneuver.
Yeah, I can tell you right now, there's no way Travis wins. Absolutely no way.
Okay.
I'm worried about, I actually think the Manupo and then the home run one might be those two.
Okay. So I'll give you the two that are false first. Okay. So Joe's right. Madison Baumgartner, Babe Ruth one is not correct.
Okay.
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 The other one that's false is Peyton Hillis having three touchdown games in their city. Manute Bol hit 6 3-pointers in one game.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Steve Kerr's best. And Steve Kerr has the highest percentage career or something ridiculous, like top three career. And Steve Kerr's highest in the game was 5. Manute Bol actually has
that. That's awesome.
For the listeners, if
when
you
I
want to
know that, I was like, that's ridiculous.
Different era.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that game that Scott was referring to, but I mean, I can see, you know, one game, but I knew there was no way the Babe Ruth thing is right. But for the listeners, if anybody wants to know what Travis looks like, he kind of looks like Steve Kerr.
He does. He does look like Steve Kerr.
He's got a little bit of a Steve Kerr.
Yep. He has Steve Kerr. He definitely has Steve Kerr.
I should have known that would have been the answer, because that's the only thing that's like NBA's like in the news right now. No one's really talking about like NFL stats, or definitely not talking about baseball.
Everyone go to YouTube. I think Manupo was on the Bullets at the time he did it. Maybe he wasn't, but his shooting stroke is like a catapult pulling back and then launching forward.
I remember that.
It's crazy.
But you would have thought though Steve Kerr would have had those on those Bulls teams, he would have had more than 5.
There weren't enough basketballs to go around for him to get all those shots, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, because the other guy.
There was that one dude. That one guy that wore 23.
The asshole would have been running around.
Yeah.
So that's, of course, making his teammates feel bad and not letting Steve Kerr beat Manute Bol in a three-point contest.
Dean, I just want to let you know, Amanda Nunez is 5'8", 135, okay? I'm 6'1", 235. So it's 100 pounds and a significant reach difference. So I'm just going to throw that out there.
I'm still putting my money on her.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, I'll put it on her.
Yeah, that's fine. It's fine.
All right, Brandon Blandino.
Call guy over. He does a dance or shuffle on the way. What the fuck was that?
Yeah. Seriously? Have you ever experienced that?
Of course.
Like, what? If you ever, if any one of you guys.
Oh, I guarantee you Travis does that.
If I see you anywhere, like if we're at a bar, whenever we're able to go to bars, and I'm like, hey, and I walk in, and I go, hey, Travis, and you like do like a dance shuffle over to me, we're no longer friends.
Friendship.
Yeah, I
over.
Won't do that. Don't worry.
No, guarantee you.
But have you experienced that? Have you experienced that?
That seems like a Pereira thing.
100%.
Oh, Pereira would definitely do that. Yeah, definitely Pereira would. Good call. 100%. Good call, Scott.
Good call. He would come over and he would do like the shuffle and then give you like an uncomfortably long hug. Like it would just.
Or shoulder rub.
The shoulder rub. 100% Pereira would do that.
The other thing that people
It'd
do
like a weird shuffle, like offbeat, like what? Like there's no music. 100%.
Kind of like you're in a conga line, but no one else is there.
meanwhile, that's a great segue. Thursday, FS1. Watch the show. What's it called, Travis, with Chris Myers?
The home game.
The home game. Me versus Pereira in a trivia contest. It airs Thursday. I'm not going to tell you what happened, but you got to watch.
I can't wait to see it.
I must see TV.
Must see TV. All right. This has been Good Calls with Dean Blandino. Please follow me on Twitter at Dean Blandino and Instagram at Dean.Blandino. Follow the show on Instagram and Twitter at Rules Podcast. And be sure to rate our podcast on the iHeartRadio app and on Apple Podcasts.
Good Calls with Dean Blandino is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.